Before I get into the message today, I have something I want to share with the church. I've never really shared this, but I feel like I need to share it with the church today. More than 55 years ago, when I met my wife, I fell in love with her so much that I asked her to marry me, and she consented, and we're about to celebrate our 55th wedding anniversary next June, if we live. And I thought there was no one in the world I could ever love more than Amanda. No one in this world I'd ever want to spend my life with more than her. I could never love anybody else more than I love her. But you know, church, I was wrong. I found someone else that I also met and I fell in love with. And for many, many years, I've had a relationship with that person. Amanda has known about it. She's been okay with it for the most part. I wanted to reveal today that relationship to you. And I want to tell you the person's name that I've been in that relationship with for many years. That person is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that I have your attention, some of you might have thought I was going another direction. Shame on you. Shame on you if you thought that. I've asked my Lord that before He calls me home, and I've sincerely prayed about it, and I've asked the Lord, and I think He's given me the okay. Before I die, I wanted to preach my tribute to the greatest life that's ever lived. And no doubt that is Jesus Christ, isn't it? Now, I know I'd get some people to doubt that, and there'd be some people who'd debate that, and you know, those who don't believe Jesus is who He is, and those who believe He was only just a myth of Jewish characters, I knew I'd get some debate about that, but that's okay. If you ask people on the street, or ask just people in general, who is Jesus? And what does Jesus mean to you? You're going to get some varied answers. Some folks would say, oh, Jesus is just a figment of some Jewish imagination. Others would say, well, Jesus was a mere man, but He was a man, a historical figure. Others would say, well, Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. He was a good teacher. Others would say, Jesus Christ? Well, He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the whole world. I ask you, who is Jesus to you? What does Jesus mean to you, especially? Well, let me share with you what He is to me. He's first of all my Savior. He's my Lord. He's the lover of my soul, as nobody ever loved me like Jesus. He's my God. He's my King. He's my Master. He's my brother. He's my bridegroom. He's my Father. He's my all. Jesus is all the world to me. Indeed, He is. Who is Jesus to you? It's out of this love relationship that I've been in with Jesus for many, many, many years, 40-some, almost 52 or so years now. I've been in that relationship. It's out of that relationship that I want to try to pay my greatest tribute of my life to my wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved me and kept me and blessed me and met all my needs and more. I want to give Him a tribute. I know man's words are inadequate. I know my words are going to fall so very far short of giving our Lord Jesus the glory and honor and praise and worship that's true to Him and that He so deserves. But I want to try to introduce Him to you. This message today is just an introduction to a series of sermons I want to preach about the life of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope when we have concluded these series that He'll be as precious to you as He is to me, that He'll be to you your God, your King, your Savior, your brother, your bridegroom, your Father, your Messiah, and your all. The Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John and the Epistles of John. He wrote out of that love relationship. You remember the Apostle John was the one the Bible says was the John the Beloved. John was the one who leaned his head upon Jesus' breast at the supper table. He was one of the three who was in the inner circle of apostles, Peter, James, and John. And John was the one who was standing around the foot of the cross when Jesus Christ gave His life for you and I. And Jesus looked down from the cross and He spoke to John and He said, "John, behold your mother. Mary, mother, behold your son." John wrote out of this love relationship what a great, compassionate, and very passionate book, the Gospel of John. So I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm going to read some selected verses there. I want to share some things. John gives here in John chapter 1 some distinctives about the Lord Jesus Christ that I want to share with us today. Look in John chapter 1 and look at verse number 1 through verse number 3 to begin with. John writes and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Look at verse 14 through verse 18. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, 'This was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Then look at verse 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" Then in verse 36. "And looking upon Jesus as He walked, he saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" I want to attempt to pay a great tribute, the best that I possibly can, to the greatest life, the greatest person who's ever lived. That person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I said John gives four distinctives here in these selected verses that I've chosen. I would encourage you to read the Gospel of John. Read it in its entirety, because John just exalts the Lord Jesus. He just magnifies the Lord Jesus. He just portrays Him in a very compassionate and very passionate way in the Gospel of John. Now please keep the Apostle John and John the Baptist kind of separate, because they're two individuals. We'll make that clear a little bit later. Four distinctives I want to share today about the greatest person who's ever lived. John speaks first of all about Jesus' divinity. Look at verse 1, chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John just quickly establishes who Jesus is. He's the Word of God. From the beginning, beloved, as far as we can go back to a beginning, for far beyond the beginning as we know it, Jesus was. He's always been. He's always going to be. He had no beginning and He'll have no ending. So He is very distinctive as a person of history. Before we ever knew there was a beginning, there was Jesus. He's always been. He'll always be. John says Jesus was the Word. Did you see that? Word here in the Greek, here John uses, is the word logos, L-O-G-O-S, logos, which means the living Word. There's another word, Greek word for Word. It's the rhema, which is the printed or spoken Word. In this particular case, John talks about logos. Jesus was the logos, the living Word. He says the living Word was with God. There's another word in the Hebrew. The word for God is Elohim. Elohim is used in the Old Testament in the plural form. Not three gods, but three personalities of the one God. So John here says, in the beginning, so far as we know it, and way beyond forever, the Logos, the living Word, was with God and was God, which means Jesus was a second person of the Trinity. The Bible says, some folks say, well, you can't prove the Trinity in the Bible. Oh, yes, you can. Yes. Here you see it right here. Jesus was a living Word. He's the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John says here. So he says Jesus is God. He's God the Son. He's God the Father. He's God the Holy Spirit. He's total God. John testifies and John says, that's why Jesus is my God. Jesus is the only God, the only Savior. He's not just a Jewish rabbi, although he was that and more. He wasn't just a historical figure, although he was that and much more. He wasn't just a Savior. He is the Savior. The only wise God and Savior. The only one who can save us. His divinity, Jesus, is God. Do you see Jesus as God?
Yes.
Let me ask you a personal question. Is He your God? Amen. Have you put your faith and your trust in Him?
Amen.
How do I know Jesus came to save me? Well, John moves from his divinity as being God, and he speaks about Jesus' humanity. If you look in verse 14, he says this, "And the Word, the living Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John the Apostle says, and he writes, the living Word, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He was made flesh and He dwelt among us. He's speaking here about His virgin birth. We had just celebrated not more than a little over a month ago about the birth of the Lord Jesus. We call it Christmas. And Christmas begins with Christ, doesn't it? It's all about Christ Jesus. So John says, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, was made flesh and He dwelt among us. Could you just wrap your thoughts about the fact that God the Spirit was made flesh and came to this earth and He dwelt among us? The only begotten of the Father, Jesus Christ. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. He's come to earth. Born of a woman, of the Virgin Mary, the virgin birth as we know it. He came down to us. John says He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus come in the flesh form of a man in the beginning? God didn't need us. He was doing quite well before we ever came on the scene. God didn't need us. We needed Him. I'll tell you why we need Him so desperately. I'll tell you why you need Him so desperately. Because every single one of us, from Adam to you to me and every other human being who will ever be born, every single one of us from Adam's sin were all born in sin. David said in sin has my mother conceived me. So being born in sin necessitates the fact that we need saving. We need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came to this earth and was made flesh and dwelt among us, because we needed saving and we needed a Savior, and Jesus came to be that Savior. I'm glad Jesus came to be the Savior. I'm so glad Jesus saved me. If you're saved, be glad He saved you. You're the reason He came. We're the reason that He came to save us from His divinity as God. We see Him in His humanity. He's come down in the flesh to save us. And beloved, we desperately needed saving, don't we? But John moves on to another distinctive. I've shared two of them, His deity, His humanity. But John speaks about Jesus' superiority. Look at verse 15. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this is John the Baptist, "This was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after Me is preferred before Me, for He was before Me. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is a record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, Who art thou? And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked Him, What then, art thou Elias or Elijah? And He saith, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? Talking about Elijah again. And He answered, No. Then said they unto Him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked Him and said unto Him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after Me is preferred before Me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist, quickly, as he was asked, Who are you? What are you baptizing for? In what name, what reason, what authority do you have? Are you the Messiah? And John quickly said, No. 1,000 times no. I am not the Messiah. I am not the Savior. I'm not the one that you say you are looking for. But there's one among you. There's one coming who was preferred way before Me. In fact, He is so superior that His shoe latchets, I'm not even worthy to unlace. He's a Savior. He's a Messiah. He's the one who's coming. He is before Me because He is the Lamb of God. And the Bible testifies that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain before the foundation of the world was ever laid. He's so superior. Never a man spake like Jesus. The Bible testifies. Others testified in the first century. Never a man spake like He could speak the word and the deaf could hear. He'd speak the word and the blind could see. He'd speak a word and the dumb could speak. He'd speak a word and the lame could walk. He'd speak a word and lepers were cleansed. He'd just speak a word and the dead would live again. He'd speak a word and all the seas and winds and waves would automatically, instantly obey Him. Never a man spake like this man. Like Jesus. But you know something? Never a man lived like Jesus. There's only been one sinless individual who's ever set foot on planet Earth. And His name is Jesus. He lived a perfect, sinless life. We just studied this morning in Sunday school how Jesus came to fulfill the requirements of the law of God, not to do away with it, but to fill it to the fullest. Nobody could keep the law but Jesus. He's the only sinless individual who's ever lived. No one ever loved me like Jesus. Can I get a witness? Amen. Nobody's ever loved you like Jesus. Not your wife, not your husband, not your family, not your friends, not your church, not your preacher. Nobody's ever loved you like Jesus. When you start comparing Jesus to all other individuals in the whole wide world, there's actually no comparison. He is so superior. So superior is He indeed that the writer of Hebrews says He is far superior to the angels in heaven. Why is He so superior to the angels? Because He's God. He's God. God in the flesh came to dwell on earth and be our Savior. Save us from our sins. He came to save me. I'm so thankful He saved me. Listen, He came to save you. Don't you think He is a worthy Savior? Amen. To be your Savior? Amen. If you've never accepted Him as your Savior, what a wonderful time, what a wonderful day, what a wonderful opportunity right now in the next few moments to accept Him as your Savior. Because you see, Jesus, in His divinity, He's God. In His humanity, He's still God. In His superiority, He's still God. But John shared a fourth distinctive about Jesus. He talked about Jesus' sufficiency. Listen to what he says in verse 14. John bare witness of Him. I'm sorry, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then look at verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as He walked, He saith, Behold the Lamb of God. John mentions beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus as He dwelt on this earth in the flesh. Can you imagine beholding the glory of Jesus on the earth as He healed the sick and caused the blind to see and all the other miracles that He performed? What glory they saw in Him as He walked here on this earth in His divinity, in His humanity, in His superiority, and in His sufficiency. But oh, could you just imagine, try to imagine the glory that Jesus had before He came here. The one who angels worship. The one whose heaven stands at attention at the name of Jesus. The very one that is going to go back to heaven. He's gone back and He intercedes for you. He intercedes for me every single moment at God's throne of grace. He's interceding for you. How sufficient this Savior is. John the Baptist said of Him, that one who's coming down the road. When he saw Jesus coming, John lifted up his voice and he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Why did Jesus come as a lamb? Why didn't He come as a reigning king? Why didn't He come to take over all the very authority on the earth and just set up a kingdom and be the ruler over it all? No, He came as a lamb. You know why He came as a lamb? Because there had to be a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. All mankind needed a sacrifice to be paid for the sin from Adam right on down through all humanity. And nobody in heaven was worthy to be that sacrifice, to be that sacrificial lamb. The Jews understood when He talked about sacrificing a lamb. They had slain thousands and thousands and thousands of lambs until Jesus came as to represent the atonement through the blood. But John lifts up his eyes and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, the one, the only one who could come from heaven's glory to this earth, be born in the flesh, live a sinless life, and then give His life a sacrifice on Calvary's cross, the perfect sacrifice. It satisfied God. Jesus is sufficient. He's the only sufficient Savior that the world's ever known or ever will know. He paid the price on the cross for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of all the world. God's satisfied. Jesus is sufficient. He's sufficient for me. I put my whole eternal destiny in His hands. My soul, my life, my eternal life, I've placed in this all-sufficient Savior, the one I call Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. No other, listen to me, no other self-proclaimed Savior has ever done what Jesus has done. Not one of them has died and come back to life and arisen from the dead and ascended into heaven and ever lives, listen, and ever lives to make intercession for all of us at God's throne. Nobody did that. Nobody could do that. Nobody has done that, and nobody ever will do that but Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. That's what makes Him my all-sufficient Savior. That's why I want to try to pay a tribute before I pass on to be with Him. I want to try to pay a tribute to Him. So what could you do? What tribute could you pay to this Jesus Christ, our Savior? What tribute could you give to Him? I know we could never pay a tribute worthy of Him. He's worthy of more than we could ever say or do. But what could you do here on earth to show Him, to pay a tribute to Him? I'll tell you what you can do. You can give your life to Him just as He came from heaven and gave His life for you. Because you see, Jesus is God in His divinity. Jesus is God in His humanity. Jesus is God in His superiority. And Jesus is God in His sufficiency. You don't need anything else, any other Savior, other than Jesus Christ. Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you paid that tribute to Him? To accept Him as your Lord and Savior? Repent of your sins. Ask Him to come in. And because of your faith in Him, the grace of God will save you. You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. Put your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. If you haven't, wouldn't you like to do it today? Wouldn't you like to come individually, personally, and bend your knee and bow your head? As the Bible says, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's not a matter if you're going to bend or bow. You will. All of us will at some point in time. Because every knee shall bow includes you. It includes me. Why not then be thankful that you have the privilege to come now and bow before Him and repent of your sins and ask Him to be your burden bearer and your Savior? What better time or place could it ever be than now? Because you see, our Lord Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back for the redeemed. The redeemed, the church, the sons of God who have been adopted, as our Sunday school lesson taught today. Those of us who have been birthed from above by the grace of God through our faith, we put in Jesus. We could never pay a worthy tribute to Him for what He's done for us. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but I've never quite thought about Jesus that way. Well, maybe you have today. Maybe today you ought to just come and bow at this altar and give Him thanks and glory and honor and praise and worship for what He's already done for you. And then leave this place of worship today with a desire in your heart to want to share this wonderful Savior, the greatest life that's ever lived, the greatest person who's ever set foot on earth. You could share Him with someone else. I want to invite you today. Sister Pam, would you go ahead and come, please? Prepare an invitation, Sister Amanda, to come. I want to invite you, introduce you to this Lord Jesus, my Savior, my God, my Lord. I want Him to be as precious to you as He has been to me, and I know that He always will be. to me. If you don't know Him, Jesus said, behold, today is a day. Now is a time for salvation. Would you come to Him if you don't know Him?